Welcome to Allison's Wonderland. I'm your host, Allison Packard. Join us as we journey through the looking glass and down the rabbit hole into the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Hey, do a girl a favor and please subscribe to this podcast and go on iTunes and leave us a good review. If you like the show, please help spread the word. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much. Todd Havercorn! Woo!
I'll take it.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. You have a lovely, very cute, awesome setup.
Thank you so much.
Well done. Chef's kiss.
Oh, thank you. This is our season three look. We have been through many incarnations and will probably continue to evolve if I ever get tired of the color pink.
Have you found that that's like, what would be the other color if you weren't going to go pink? You would go...
You know, I don't know. I kind of have enjoyed having the LED lights to give some flexibility with the color. My original vision was to have all white and then do projection art on the back.
Oh, yeah.
But we couldn't really work a way where our faces weren't in the way of the projection. It just was like one more thing to worry about.
Yeah, so. This is great. This is good.
Thank you.
I feel cute. In this.
Well, you look cute.
It's just like I'm through osmosis, absorbing cuteness from the cute things and the things.
So many flowers.
Yes.
So Havercorn, that's a pretty cool name. Is there any story behind that?
It's a German, boring German name. It means, I wish it meant like warrior who rides on a V12 steed of iron, but it means oat and wheat.
Oat and wheat.
So it's relatable. Everyone's met an oat and everyone knows wheat. So I guess in that sense, it's good.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Although wheat seems kind of controversial these days.
Well, you know what? If everybody likes you, you're doing it wrong.
Right.
So yeah. But Havercorn and nine times out of 10, it's mispronounced. But I don't ever correct people because I'm like, you know, you in the name realm, you do you, I guess.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't. I know you mean me.
Uh-huh.
So it's fine.
What are some of the mispronunciations? It's
always Habercorn. Always.
Habercorn.
But it's Habercorn. Or Habercorn for the German, you know.
Phew, thank God I...
You got it.
Nailed it.
Yeah, very, very good. Very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you are a man of many talents, both a voice actor, a director, a content creator, YouTuber, many other mystical talents that are. You want to chime in?
Well, you know, you do all the things too. It's just something like, you know, I think we get idle hands. And instead of, because if you start doing the things that you say you wish you had time for, like reading all the books and watching all the shows and playing all the games, then you don't have a list to lament that you can't get to. So instead of doing that, we do all the other production things.
Ah, productive procrastination.
Yes. Yeah.
Preemptive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for me, it's like I have always grown up just doing so much performance-based stuff and entertainment world stuff that it's kind of like I feel weird if I'm not doing some aspect of it. And so I really enjoy learning about different aspects of the industry. And everything I release online, for example, like on a social media platform is me testing something out. So it's always me just testing out, like, can I do that? How do I do that? So it's I guess it's like kind of like my digital canvas to try to, but I need to get better about, like, okay, I did it that one time, but let's tone it and do it. You know, I need to get better about stuff.
It's the Havercorn test lab, the test kitchen.
Yeah. Yes. And then we see what needs to go on the main menu.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But then the menu is seasonal and,
it's hard to get in. Yeah, it's hard to get into that restaurant, even though I don't even know when it's open. So, yeah, we'll see how it does long term. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your early days. What kind of kid? What were you like growing up?
I think it was a weird kid, based on what I was told. theater was my first foray into like performance stuff, and that really I connected with that. It's kind of like when you know right away as a kid whether or not you're a dark chocolate fan or a white chocolate fan or a milk chocolate fan. Like, you know, you don't have to be told.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm dark chocolate. But that's what I felt 100%. With 75% is about my max of how I want to go with how dark. So I connected with theater because I didn't have a whole bunch of friends. I was an only child. And so it was like, it's fun to not be me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something where I'm not me for a while. And that's, I stuck with it. It took up all my time.
Did it?
And so I got started really young. And then
you grew up in Texas?
I did. I spent a lot of time there, and I moved around a bunch and traveled all over, but I spent a lot of time in Texas for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause I would go like where parents, you know, broken families, you're moving here and you're living here and you're visiting here and you're going there. So it's I've got a lot of frequent flyer miles. Yeah.
And so when was your first like play? Were you
10 years old?
10 years old.
I did a musical and I died on stage wearing a red and black plaid little kid shirt because I was a little kid. And it was an epic death that I still remember.
It was foreshadowing for the future.
Yeah.
And all the thousands of times you would grow to die later.
And so when I do die, I'm not going to be scared. When death comes, I'll be like, I've been waiting. Where were you? So I'm ready. I plan ahead like that.
Let's just make sure you have the wardrobe ready to go too.
Oh yeah, the shirt's still, it's a little tighter at this point, but it's like, I got it. It'll be a bandana. It's fine. That was my first time. And then I was like, let's see where this goes. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
And so it was a weird dynamic of like, strange. It was like I was made fun of by you know, as we all are, by kids, mm-hmm. and because we're just different and we're figuring ourselves out. But like, I was made fun of a lot for my voice, actually. And so that's why I never thought voiceover would ever be a thing.
What specifically?
I wish I remembered the bully names.
Yeah, we tend to block those out.
Yeah, but I wish, so they made fun of that a lot. But in class, when it was time to read in class, I was always the one that was called on to read.
Right.
Yeah, so right
Who
here.
Who wants to read? Like,
give it up. High five. Yeah. So so I did that. So it was a weird dynamic because it was like I was asked to read, but then I was made fun of for the voice. So I just, I don't know. That's, I was like, back to theater.
It's a thing.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. So what was your first voiceover job?
Commercial for a computer store. And I didn't know, because I didn't think voiceover was a thing. It's weird. Like, because now it's so prevalent. We all think about voiceover. Everybody wants to do it. But back then, you just didn't think about it. You didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't. Because, again, only child, I didn't have a parent there to go, that's a person going into a booth and doing that voice. That's not Batman.
Yeah. There wasn't the same awareness
just
that there is now.
Totally not. And so when I got the gig, as I'm sure we all do, they go, okay, so here's the gig and here's when it's due and you got it, right? And I was like, yeah, yes, absolutely. Had no idea how to do it. So I was like, okay, let me figure this out. So I'm literally at the soundboard plugging this in, plugging that in. You know, and this is before like USB mics. Oh yeah. I was just, I was like, let me figure this out. And so, cause they didn't want to, you know, it's a small computer store. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, all right, hey, plug this here. Does that work? No. Okay. Plug this in and just trial and error. And then I finally get it recorded and I'm sure it sounds horrible now. I wish I still had it. And then I sent it in. That was my very first gig. I'm pretty sure it was terrible because one of two things. One, I didn't do another spot for them.
Uh-huh.
But then number two, they might have closed down. So I don't know.
And there's only one person to blame.
100%. Yeah. I'll own it. But it was bad. It was real bad.
Oh, wow.
But I still have the soundboard.
Internet, do your thing. See if you can find
you
it.
You won't find it. It would be awesome. If you did, though, that'd be really amazing. I'm not confident on it 100%.
Yeah, that's going to be just gonna add a new layer of complexity.
I want to say it was
the search.
Google? No, I don't remember what it was. But,
small company called Microsoft.
It was one of the others. Microsoft and I forget something. Yeah, but.
Wow. And so was that? That was back in Texas?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so then what spurred your move across the country?
I felt like, so I was with Funimation for years.
That's where you got your start.
And my main VO start.
Were you living in Dallas?
Yeah. And so my main VO start was at Funimation. And so I was in shows there. I was also writing and adapting shows and directing. And I just had hit a ceiling. I felt. No one said that. No, mm-hmm. But I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm hitting my goals here. So what's next? Mm-hmm. For me, and for everybody, it's like sometimes they hit that goal and they're like, hey, as long as I can maintain this, awesome. That's where I am now. But back then I'm like, let me see. I want to go. Yeah, this is cool. I get it. I'm at the top of this mountain in Griffith Park. Awesome. Let's see if I can go to the top of that observatory. And it's just like the ambition is there, but without guidance, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, let me try out LA. And this stuff in my life, it had opened up this time where I'm like, this is the perfect time to go. And if you don't go right now, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And so I did it. And it took 26 hours of driving. 11 of those is literally just to get to the end of Texas.
Oh my God.
And then did the drive, made it. But the thing is like, I didn't just pick up and be like, knock, knock, hey, LA, I'm here. Like I mm-hmm. planned it and I tried to, I didn't want it to be like, cause I think so many times people are like, I'm just going to pick up and move and see what happens. It's like, that can work for some people, but that's not me.
Yeah.
I want to know that cause it's a big move. And I want to know that
it's expensive.
Oh my God. Yeah. I saved this X amount of money and I was like, you know what? I this should be good. Like 6 weeks, it was like, boom, gone. And so, but very, very fortunate because like
on parking,
on parking alone, but the parking was great. It was right by my door. But then I guess it was 4 days later. Once I got to LA, I signed with WME. And
what year was that?
That was 2011.
Wow.
And so signed with them. And started work, and then I began working on Naruto. I think was one of the first things I did out here. Naruto, been on that show since, and then the other iterations of it. But yeah, just I was desperate to make it work,
mm-hmm.
and was open to every and anything. I remember some weird auditions I went to where it's like, is this an opportunity to get in there and hopefully make a little coin to prolong this Oregon Trail that I'm on? So I can buy some oat and some medicine for my dysentery.
No wheat. Mm-mm.
Yeah, no, keep it out. But yeah, so I did that and here, I guess, you know, here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
So yeah.
So Naruto, one of the most popular shows, animes of all time.
Yeah.
We had Miley Flanagan on the show.
Oh, Miley's awesome.
Last season. Oh, she's so great. Sweet. She's in the neighborhood as well. What was it like booking that? I mean...
In
2011, you already knew it was huge, right?
Yeah, but for me, it was like, I just looked, it's just like, it's a gig, let's do it. Because I was trying to like, just make sure that I had all my ducks in a row. And so I was excited about working with the people that I got to work with, like Mary Elizabeth McGlynn, who was the director on
mm-hmm.
it, working with her.
Were you familiar with her before?
Yeah, because I had talked with her, we went to the same college at different times, but you know, same college. And so it was fun to connect with her, and she was really gracious in having me on.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, gigs, they're now it's different because I can look at gigs and like if I'm a fan of that franchise, now I can appreciate it a little bit more than back then. Because back then I was just in a scarcity mindset where it was like, I just got to get everything I can get because mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I have a cushion for myself that I can maintain this. And because I'd never done this before, I'd never moved somewhere on my own, just completely on my own, and like no help, no, like, you know, there wasn't like a Wayne Manor vault waiting with like make as many financial mistakes as you want, we gotcha. It's like there was none of that. Mm-hmm. If this didn't work, that was it.
Yeah.
And so that's where I was at, trying to do just any and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And so you got on the show, and tell us about your character.
Oh my God. Well, when you work on Naruto, when you work on Boruto, when you work on Bleach, those long form shows, you're not just playing one character. You're playing so many. Like I was just working on a show, season 2 of a show right before this. Today, where they're like, okay, yeah, we finished a little early. Let's see. Okay, why don't you be, because I'd finished my main character.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, well, there's Samurai D, he's got a line here, let's do that. And so in Naruto, you end up being so many things. Yeah. And so, I mean, there's a list out there.
Mm-hmm.
Insert
list.
Yeah.
Editor insert list here.
Yeah. So it was, but yeah, I'm sure there's a village in there where it's like all my clones, yeah. hanging out and thriving, harvesting their wheat, etc.
Into the Haberverse.
Making boba with Naruto. Yeah, whatever they're doing. But yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. So, what was really, do you feel that there was a turning point when you came to LA? Because you, at this point now, have traveled the world doing conventions, mm-hmm. making personal appearances. Was there a turning point for you where you were like, oh, yeah, this is going well?
Well, I try to set little goals for myself. When I got, there's this one particular car that I got. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew.
What kind
when
of car?
I could a car that I wanted, and I was like, if I can get that he car,
tell us
then I
car.
Can. Then I know
is
that
it
I.
Porsche?
It was very nice, but that was a little marker for me, and it can manifest itself in other ways. Like some people can be like, I want to get this house
or this
watch
experience,
or this yeah, or this or this yeah. But that was one little thing that I did, and it sounds weird to. Distill it down to like a material
yeah.
thing, but it was the tangible thing that I could grab onto because this business is so ephemeral.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's why I set a tangible goal, but it's not like I'm a huge car guy. And so that became my marker.
Yeah. It's almost that point in where on the mountain climb where you stop to look at the view and
yeah.
take it all in.
Yeah.
And you see you're somewhere.
And
halfway
I think
up or wherever.
The reason that I had to do that is because there is no marker mm-hmm. in the industry that tells you you've quote unquote made it, because it's like, because ultimately at the end of the day, it's what feels good for you in the industry, I think, because it's like we all can think we've made it to some point, but there's always going to be someone who has a different career path that looks maybe more attractive.
Yeah, from the outside.
From the outside. Like, mm-hmm. like you know, if I were to, you know, look at Bowser.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bowser is Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck. But then he may look at, he goes, yeah, I'm Bugs Bunny, but I'm not da 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 da,
yeah.
who's the voice of Google,
yeah.
or I'm not da da da.
Line out the door for cons. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
And so it's
yeah.
a different, that goes back to why it was like an item. That's why I was like, I can put it on an item, and then I know that that's at least a buoy in the ocean
yeah.
that I've made it, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but then again, it's like making it is again, it's like you have to curate it for your own path because it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. So that was it for me, that little nugget for me.
Yeah. yeah. That's so nice. And when did you start really diving into the world of conventions?
Well, I didn't even know about those because a lot of times people go to cons and they've been as fans before, but I never had heard of conventions. And so my very first one was in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did Anime Boston. And
That's where I'm from.
Oh, you're from Boston? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Just to let you know, having been there in the past couple of years, the traffic is still pretty bad.
Who drives?
You yeah, it's I'm pretty surprised at how congested it gets. But when were you last back there?
It's been a few years. It was pre-pandemic, but we're
okay.
going back July 1st.
Oh, okay.
So
okay. Oh, it's coming up. Okay.
Yeah. It's coming up soon.
Are you staying for like just the weekend?
We're going to stay for a week. I'm going to do, a show while I'm out there.
Okay.
There's a con called Music Con.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Which is mostly musicians and stuff. And they've got like festival stage. So
nice.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'm going to see my family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Spend some time.
They're all out there, your whole family?
My whole family. I'm the only one that's out here.
Wow. Okay. So this would be a good like recharge.
Yeah. I think it's going to be busy, actually. I think it's going to be pretty.
They need to get in line and get good seats for the show. That's how they're going to see
you. It's 10:30 in the morning, so I don't know.
That's a good time.
Yeah.
10:30 at night, too sleepy.
Thank you.
You know, we got stuff to do.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Sleep. Well, that'd be cool. Yeah, that was my first convention, and the convention environment from then to now, if there's one through line that's
yeah.
been consistent, it's that the fan feedback, the elation that they exude and the positivity that they put forth
uh-huh.
is timeless. Mm-hmm. It's the same from then to now. It's and no matter where in the world it is, it's to be on the receiving end of that is really energizing.
Yeah, what a gift.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, because I mean, throughout your career, you've been part of so many franchises that are incredibly popular, Bleach and One Piece, and, you know, just moving from lots of animes, but also video games as well. And, you know, do you ever look back and say, oh, wow, this is surprising life?
Mm, I try to count the fortunate moments along the way and fill it with the ingredient of gratitude. But it's something where I'm always, as opposed to saying, what a life, I think I say, I'm content. And so that allows, what that does is that contentment allows for me to build a little door in my world that when you open it, there's work-life balance in there. And I feel like a lot of times, and again, that's why the contentment can come at whatever point in your career, because you have to choose when that is. Because for the longest time, I didn't have that. And so I was insatiable. I was always like, I need more, I need more, I need more. And what I really needed was like validation, I guess. I was like, give me more validation. And it's like, you're never going to fill up on that. If that's what you're going to hit your ride onto, that cup has a hole in it. And so that's not sustainable. And so I'm like, well, what is sustainable? Let's look at this thing called balance. And that has brought me a lot more fulfillment. Basically, what I did was I tried to cheat code the end of my life now, in the sense that so many times people get to the end of their life and they're like, I wish I would have done A, B, C more. Or I wish I would have spent more time with that, 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 that. And like, well, why do I need to wait until I'm 200 when I die? Why don't I do it now so that I'm young enough to really swim in it and enjoy it? That's been my little hack for myself, I hope.
I love that. It's great because you're right. It's gratitude. It comes easier with practice, but human beings, it's almost as if we are designed or programmed to be looking for what's wrong all the time so that we can survive. And that's our survival mechanism. And then we go through life pointing out everything that's wrong with this moment or wrong with our lives. And that isn't a way to live. You get to a certain point where you're like, that is not the type of thing people are on their deathbed. Like, I wish I judged myself harder. Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, I wish I worked more hours. It's like, they're like, I wish I spent more time with my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on the surface, they both cost the same. They seem to cost nothing. They're both free, whether gratitude or, you know, self-scrutiny. But they actually, there is a different cost for each. And with the self-scrutiny is like, the cost is relationships. It's time for yourself. It's investment in yourself. That's what you're paying. That's the currency you're using to chase this unbridled ambition towards whatever it is you think is your pinnacle. Because so many times it's like, once you hit that, you think, like, I hear it from voice actors a lot. It's like, once I can get to this point, or once I hit this point, then I'm going to be good. Then I'll slow down. That's not going to happen. Once you get there, you're going to set a new goal. Yeah. Now you're like, well, I got to keep going while it's hot. I got to keep going while I'm booking it. And it's like, see, now the game just got you again.
Yeah.
So it's like you have to, and that goes back to the worth thing, where it's like, you can't, why would you, I was just talking about this, like, why would you put your worth on something that you have so little control over? You have so little control over whether the masses are going to like or not like the game that you're in, or a game just came out, like a couple games just came out that I was in. One of them got less than stellar reviews and one got amazing reviews. All I did was my part in it. I didn't develop the game, so I couldn't control the quality of the game. But if I hitched my worth on that, I'd be devastated by the first game, elated by this game.
Or desperate to book the next game.
Exactly. So it's like, put your worth in things that you have more control over, is for me. So, yeah.
How you spend your day, your morning routine, things like that.
And those little micro investments in yourself at the end of your life, when you cash it all in because you can't take it with you, you get to go to the board and get the biggest stuffed animal at the carnival, bigger than anybody else. Because the people that spend their tickets along the way and they're not doing little micro investments in themselves, they only get the little shitty Chinese finger trap thing. That's all they have enough tickets for. Whereas as you make it along the way, boom, you can get the big Scooby-Doo. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Hey guys, this is Allison Packard. Sorry to interrupt, but I just wanted to let you know that if you like the show, please, please, please remember to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps us to get heard by more people. Thanks so much.
So how do you find work-life balance? You have a family.
It's conscious decision making. It's contentment. It's like when I cook my life meal, I'm like, what ingredients do I want in here? I want contentment. I want gratitude. I want happiness. I want tranquility. And I said, well, how do you make that? Well, look up the recipe. Okay, well, 12 to 15 hours a day, that doesn't get you that. That's going to kill the tranquility plant, so don't do that.
You mean?
Yeah, and like, okay, comparing myself to others, okay, going to kill the stress-free existence, so that's not an ingredient. So you just go through the list, and you're like, what ingredients help me and what ingredients hurt me? Be aware of both lists, because I think there's also a thing where it's like balance. If you go too far in either direction, if you go too much into life, no work balance, well, you're going to hit a wall and you need to work. But if you go too far work and you have no life balance, you're going to hit a wall and you're going to be all alone on your island. So it's, life loves balance. We all love balance. We don't want to sleep too much. We don't want to sleep too little. We don't want to eat too much, eat too little. We want to eat just enough. We want to sleep just enough.
And maybe so, just a little more than just enough.
For me, I can't. What's the latest you can sleep? I can't sleep in. 7 a.m. is my sleeping in.
I'm an early person when I can. But I was talking more about specifically like food.
Oh, food. I can.
This is a little more than enough.
The desserts, I always tell myself, I'm like, I'm going to do one bite to try
it. Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, but what's one bite? I mean, we didn't define the size of the bite.
Uh-huh.
So maybe like 3 bites makes actually one bite, really.
If you can keep it at 3, you're still in a good shape.
3 is good. Yeah, 3 is my little barrier for myself.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
So what about like exercise and fitness? Mm-hmm. Do you have a daily practice with that?
I do. I try to do like, you know, 4 or 5 times a week and do a combination of, you know, cardio on a bike, some yoga, weight training, all that kind of stuff. So that's the other thing. That's that investment in long-term, that micro investment in yourself for long-term success. Because I don't want to be, you know, when I was growing up, man, I loved Al Pacino, loved his movies. And you see him now, and yeah, he's in his 80s, but man, it's like he's a cardboard cutout because he can barely move. I mean, he is having a kid, so I guess he can move a little bit more.
He's having a child?
Oh, wow. He's only 83.
Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Never too old.
The mom is, she's 29. She's 8 months pregnant, so... he moves like a Hollywood flat, like a wall, like he. And so, but then Dick Van Dyke, who's like 97, he can dance, he can get on, he can do sit-ups and all this stuff. So it's like, that's what I want to be like.
Yeah,
I want to be able to, you know.
And the day-to-day happiness, I think the way it works on your brain chemistry is incredible.
Absolutely. You're a useful cog in the wheel of your life, and it gives you purpose, and you know, it juices you up. Yeah.
Life lessons from the habit, Graham.
It's all that wheat that I eat.
So you voice Natsu Dragneel in A Fairy Tale. Can you talk to us about that iconic role?
Well, we did that. We did 328 episodes. And
in a weekend.
In one weekend. And my voice was so mad at me. and then we did 2 movies with that. That show is the show that has changed my life. And it is a show that changes a lot of people's lives from what they... I mean, so many stories of people saying, like, I was in the hospital for this and this show helped me, or I was dealing with this. And so it's really amazing to hear the reach of that show on both sides. So from my side, how it's changed my world, but then now for people that have found that show as like a talisman of hope for them because of the themes in the show that they like, which I credit to obviously the writer and the creator of the show. We're just a small piece of the, because it's a whole village, and we're just a piece of that village. But that was an amazing show. They're making more episodes now and video games and stuff. And so we'll get some news at some point. Hopefully we'll be involved with it. But yeah, it's been a really amazing journey with that show over the course of, gosh, many years. We've worked on it for a long time, and still remember the audition. But yeah, it's been great.
What was the audition like?
A lot of times, so at Funimation, it's not like this now, but you would go into Funimation and they give you a binder with that tells you about the show. You see the characters and you go in one at a time and you audition. And I was working on another series there, and I sat down and didn't know anything about the show. And then I was like, oh, Natsu, okay. I want to read for him because like he's a fire wizard and like a lot of his attributes to his personality. And so when I went and read for him, the director knew that he wanted to give me the role, but I didn't know that. And so he acted like he didn't want to give it to me. So then I heard him say, he's like talking to someone else. He's like, I've been reading a lot of people today, but I don't think I found the right one. So I was like, oh, well, okay, well, it's not going to be me then. And so I got in the car and I went on to my next gig in a couple hours outside of Dallas to go. And I was sitting at a restaurant, pizza place. And then he calls me and he goes, what you doing? And I'm like, eating pizza. And I knew that I got it at that point.
Okay.
Because he only, every time he's called me, I've been somewhere. Mm. Like, I remember when I got a lead in, all the leads in the shows that I've done with him, I was at like this restaurant.
Who's the director?
Or this, Tyler Walker.
Tyler Walker.
He also wrote it. He knows so much about the world.
Transcribed it.
Like, he translated it. Translated. Or adapted it. Sorry, not translated. He adapted it from the translation and he directed it. And he's read all the manga.
Okay.
But when he called me, he's like, do you want to be Natsu? And I was like, I mean, that's like saying, hey, I found some funnel cake under this piano here. Do you want this funnel cake? I'm like,
probably
yeah.
Probably not, though, the funnel cake analogy.
No, I would still, I'd still give it a go.
Vegan funnel cake,
yeah,
of course.
It's fine, yeah. But he asked that, and I was like, yeah, let's do it. And so we started recording it, and I was happy as a vegan clam. There we go.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would you say that was a big turning point then? How did things change going forward?
Well, for a lot of the shows that I was doing at Funimation, we never completed. There were several lead roles where we just never completed the series. Mm. And so I thought this was just going to be another one of those.
Yeah.
And so that's why I made a bet.
Meaning it was never released, or meaning you did a season, but the rest of it?
Yeah, that I knew there were more episodes, but we just wouldn't get, like, we did a show called Sergeant Frog that had 300 plus episodes. Well, we did 80 something of them and we just stopped.
We just have one season of Vampire Dies in No Time. I keep waiting for, when's that season two coming?
So something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Is it ever coming?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's why I'm sitting there scratching my head. So that's why I was like, okay, there are 100 episodes of Fairy Tail at the time. Mm. I was like, if you guys support this show, and because there wasn't streaming back then.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, if you guys go out and buy this show and you support it, I'll get my character's tattoo. Be my first tattoo.
Oh.
And so
no
they
way.
Did it. And so they supported it.
You posted
it.
This on social media?
Yeah. At the time.
Twitter?
Yeah. I forget what it was at the time. But yeah, we posted about it. And then everyone supported it. We got the show to the finish line. After we finished recording the 100th episode, we went to the tattoo parlor with the camera crew and everything, and we got it.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
It was awesome.
I'll have to see if we can find some of that for B-roll.
Yeah. They did. And then people started getting the fairy tale tattoo. So all over the world, I see these people that come up with the fairy tale tattoo.
Can we see the tattoo?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So right there.
Wow. It's amazing.
But that was my first one. And,
that was your first tattoo?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. And you've got quite a few now.
I've got a.
Is there any you want to talk about? While we're on the subject of tats?
Well, because you have an elephant picture.
I love elephants.
Out there. Yeah. So this one is actually after I went to, so that's the phonetic spelling, elephant. But I went to the elephant nature park in Thailand.
Oh, wow.
And to volunteer and work there for almost 2 weeks. And the bananas and the watermelons were the treats that we would feed them. And so that was a really awesome experience because, caring for the elephants and prepping their food and interacting with them. And that was a really, definitely a little bookmark in life that was really fun to be a part of. And to be around people that had animal welfare in their minds as well, because it was just... And we didn't get paid to go there. We paid to go there, and everyone was still there as if that was our job. And it was very, it was an amazing
service.
Yeah, amazing experience for sure. Yeah. So
wow.
I want to get back there.
What's the name of the group?
Elephant Nature Park.
Elephant Nature Park in Thailand. Wow.
There was a documentary about them too. I forget what that was called, but it was done a couple years ago. But yeah.
Well, good for you for making the time for that. I think that's the type of thing that I'm like, once my son's in college, then we'll, these experiences will happen. Or, oh, I can't take 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But the reality is life won't give you 2 weeks if you don't take it.
That was my concern, was like, oh man, how are we going to fit this in? And so I just was like, well, we got to go.
Yeah.
Because the elephants, it's like, as their population always needs help, they're not going to say, yeah, you go ahead and record that Buffalo Wild Wings commercial. We'll just be here dying. Great. Get those three takes in. It's like, so I was like, oh, yeah, the elephant did make a good point. So I had to get out there. So, But you know, your family, it might be a great experience for y'all.
Yeah.
To do.
Yeah, I'd love to. My son.
I mean, you're already
a little bit older.
When you get, well, you kind of go in the opposite way. I was going to say after Boston, just like reroute.
Oh
keep
yeah.
Going, but.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of adventures I think still meant to be had.
Yeah.
And so you are vegan as well. How long have you been vegan for?
A lot of years now. And I would say that, you know, cheese slips in there. Because vegan cheese is not where it needs to be.
It's there's that one veggie slice is pretty good.
There's one that, yeah, and then there's, Daiya is not bad, but it's like, that one, it's just not.
Once in a while.
It's hard to get the cheese exactly right. But
it's like, yeah, farm raised kind of.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the thing for me is that it's always a touchy subject with people. Because what a lot of people don't realize is that in a strange way, food is their religion. So when you talk to them about what they eat, they don't realize it. They get real defensive.
Yeah.
So, but I'm always happy to talk with people about that lifestyle because I think that it is, it's interesting that we love dogs and we love cats, but we couldn't imagine eating them. Mm-hmm. But we're cool with doing it for animals that are smarter than dogs and cats. Pigs are smarter than dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, but bacon. And it's like, when you see the footage, when you read about how it benefits you, veganism benefits you, benefits the planet, benefits animals. It takes way less water to produce oat milk than it does regular milk. Mm-hmm. Way less land. For the same plot of land that you use to feed cattle, you could make way more food for people. And the thing is like people are like, well, yeah, but eating vegan's so expensive. Well, last time I went to a steakhouse, the steak was $65 and the salad was $15. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then the other thing is like, but protein, how do you get your protein? Gorillas are herbivores. Mm-hmm. They don't eat meat. And last time I checked, they were like 500 pounds of muscle. Yeah. So there's all of these. But all of those things that they say is out of fear. Mm-hmm. They don't understand it because they don't have the power to understand it because knowledge is power. But they don't have the knowledge about the veganism. So they're powerless.
And so what resources did you use to get the knowledge?
Gary Yourofsky. Was a YouTuber who has a great speech about it, and he addresses all of those things. And so after I saw that, mixed with the footage, the hidden footage that they got from factory farms and stuff, I was like, man, now that I have that knowledge, it would be shitty of me to continue on this other path, knowing that that's what goes on for the food on my plate. Mm-hmm. Especially nowadays when we have so many alternatives and so many other means of which to get sustenance and to get those nutrients and get that food. And guess what? It doesn't have to cost an animal's life because that's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's at the end of the day, that's what it really is. Mm-hmm. And we try to block it out and not see it happening, but it's happening literally right now. Mm-hmm. And so I choose 3 times a day to say, I love animals. I love the planet. And I want to do this in a sustainable way. And so it's not a religion. It's just a way of life that I think is more conducive to allowing other living things to live their life. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I've been doing for a long time and always happy to talk about it with people because I think that the dairy industry and the meat industry do a really... Sadly, they do a really great job of making you only think of their industry. Mm-hmm. And they really put a lot of money. There's a lot of money in it where they like, listen, we've built these institutions that have to thrive on factory farming. It's billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. They don't want to lose people to that. So that's why you can't get almond milk and oat milk. Almond milk, now you can, but in gallon form. You can only get oat milk in these little... half gallons. Why can't you get it in a gallon like regular milk? It's all those types of things, like little talking about microtransactions. Mm. It's those little things that make it a little bit harder to get there, and so people don't do it. Mm. But yeah, so I've done it for a long time.
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally.
Do you have a religion? Do you have something you ascribe to?
For me, I mean, I think there's got to be something, some higher thing, power, energy, whatever, giant. Glowing octopus. I don't know, but I think that it's very
we're living in a simulation
or that, because that deja vu thing, I'm like, why have I seen that program before? But you know, I think for me, if I had to align it with something, it would be like more of a Buddhist mindset, because it's just kind of like, it's a golden rule at the end of the day. It's like, treat people how you want to be treated. And that's probably the simple. It's kind of like when you talk about, you know, when musicians talk about writing a song, it's like, sometimes the simplest songs are the best. The mm-hmm. Beatles, their simplest songs are like their best, most well-known songs. That's what I try to do with my philosophy, is like, just keep it simple and know, be able to name all the ingredients. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, then you might be on the right path for me. So
some Haber philosophy for you. Well, it's been so lovely sitting down and chatting with you and getting to meet you for the first time.
First time, yeah. And I've heard of you and heard you. And it was a pleasure to put a voice and talents with the face.
It's such a pleasure. So. Now, maybe you can do our outro, because I'm so bad at them. Like, what are we supposed to do when we export to YouTube? You're so good. Your YouTube channels. You're like,
Lord, well, what's your...
awkwardly into the camera and then you, be like, hey, like and subscribe. Like,
yeah, you go first. I want to see you do it. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Todd. Hey, guys, this was such a great interview. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't already. Make sure you smash that like button. And tune in next week for more goody-goody Wonderland goodness. Bye.
That was good. Okay, let's see. You know the feeling that you have right now, that marshmallowy feeling? That's called Wonderland goodness. And how do you get more of that? Look at that little subscribe button. You know what to do. Look at the little thumbs up button. You know what to do. I don't need to tell you what to do, because you're doing it right now. You can barely hear me over the click, the mouse click of clicking the like. Do it and you'll see more of us soon.
All right. See you next week. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to Allison's Wonderland, where we explore the wild and wonderful world of animation and video games. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a review. For more episodes of Allison's Wonderland, please visit us at www.allisonpackard.com. See you next week.